Numbers chapter 21, some wonderful verses in the book of Numbers, some wonderful truths, some disheartening truths, because it shows us what man's about, shows us what we're about, but it sure is some good stuff in here. We're going to look at part of that that does both. It enlightens and helps and stirs us, I hope, but also will somewhat dishearten us when we realize how man is, and sometimes we ourselves. Look in verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of the land of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." I'll take up for the people of Israel one time, and that'll probably be the last time for this service. They were in a difficult situation. They were in a dire strait. They were in the desert. They were in a place where there was no water. There was in a place where there was nothing but discomfort. It was in a place of sun and sand, and I understand their dilemma, but they had no excuse to complain. If they didn't, we don't. For I promise you, we do not go through what they went through. We never face what they have faced. We never endure what they had to go through. But what they say here in this verse lets us in on what their condition is. After all that God had done, the wonderful things, the miraculous things, He provided the first thing, the way out of Egypt and through the Red Sea, He miraculously opened up and took them across and dealt with Pharaoh and his army. And as they've wandered now sometime in the wilderness, God has provided for them, He has taken care of them. Where there's been no water, He has provided water. Where there is no bread, He's provided bread. He has taken care of them. And yet there comes to this point to where they finally say, "Our soul loatheth this," listen to how they word it, "light bread." The word "light" has this thought. It literally means insubstantial. In other words, they're saying there's no nutritional value. This bread that we're eating, this manna that we're eating all the time, it doesn't give me what I need. It doesn't satisfy me. It doesn't please me. Well, I beg to differ. They've been wandering in the wilderness and are still quite healthy. Through the times of the wilderness, God took care of them and provided for them and kept them healthy and kept them, if you would, if they would have allowed it, they would have been happy. He has taken care of them, but they say, "We loathe this light bread. We hate this stuff." Here's what they're saying: "We are so tired of God's provision." Can you imagine? We are so tired of what God is doing. I want to try to preach this evening on bored with bread. They had become bored with God's bread. They had, listen, they had gotten used to manna. It had gotten to where it wasn't any big deal. Now at first, even the name manna was, "What is this? What is this?" And to begin with, the first time they ate that wafer-tasting piece of bread, it amazed them. They realized this is a gift of God. This is something that God, our God, the miraculous God, the powerful God, the loving God, He has provided for us in a place where there is no bread. We're eating all the time. In a place where there's nothing to eat, we are eating all the time. To begin with, they were thrilled with what God was doing, but they've gotten used to it. When we get used to God's miracles, we're in trouble. When we get used to what God's doing, we're in trouble. And verse 6, it says, "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died." Sounded to me like kind of upset God too. When they said, we're so bored with this bread, we're so tired of this manna, this light bread, this stuff that has no nutritional value, doesn't satisfy my need, doesn't please me any longer, God got angry about it, could I say rightfully so. I'll stick this in, move on quickly. We need to be careful about complaining about how God's running his business. We need to realize that God takes it very seriously. Here's my point. They weren't satisfied with how God was doing it, even though he was doing it quite miraculously. Even though he was doing a wonderful job, they still were not satisfied. Could I say first, we're in trouble when his bread becomes boring. When God's miracles become mundane, when we get used to what he's doing and he's working all around us and we don't see it or recognize it, the manna had become mundane. Look back with me in chapter 16. Let's look at a couple of verses. Chapter 16, verse 4. I'm talking tonight about being bored with bread when manna becomes mundane, when we're bored with God's work and we're not satisfied with how he's doing it, when we fail to see his miracles all around us. Oh, we're in trouble. Verse 4, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain down bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. Here's the beginning of manna. And God said, I know what my people need. Do you hear me? I know what they need. I know what it's going to take to provide for that they need. And he said, I'm going to provide the bread that they need, and it's going to fall out of heaven. Can you understand with me? That's a miracle. That's an astounding thing. And that's a miracle the first day or the 433rd day. And it was a miracle at the end, just like it was at the beginning. To begin with, they were thrilled, but they got satisfied and they got content and they got used to it. Look in verse 5. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be as twice as much as they gather daily. God said, when you go out and gather the manna, gather exactly what you need for that day. And when Friday comes and the Sabbath's about to come, you gather twice as much, because you're not going out to gather on the Sabbath. It's a day of rest. And God said you get twice as much just that one day. Now understand with me, this is not a crowd of 50. This is not a crowd of 500 or 500,000. There's millions involved, and they're eating. God sends enough for them all. In fact, he sends more than enough. He sent more than enough for them all. They're not only drinking the water he's provided, but they're eating the food he's provided. Their clothes are not wearing out, and they're traveling through this desert. And remember, there's little babies with them. You ever travel with a little baby? I don't recommend it. Me and Stephanie was talking the other day how I don't know where in the world our minds were when Connor was 5 weeks old. We head off to the beach knowing we only have one day. Now, I promise you, a 60-year-old man at that time does not need to head to the beach with a daughter and two grand youngins, knowing they got to come back the same day, but we did it. And I want to tell you, having a 5-week-old baby and an 8-year-old girl and a whatever she was, old mama, and an old man going to the beach in one day is dumb. I want to tell you, traveling with a little baby is not easy. But they were doing it, and God was providing. There's these little babies, they got to be changed. They got to be birthed. They've got to be breastfed. Here's these old grandmas and old grandpas. They can't move fast, but they're still moving. They have to be taken care of. They have to be led by the hand. Here's teenagers involved. No doubt some are rebellious. Some don't want to go. Some have their own way. Some are already turning against mom and dad. There's toddlers involved. I can't imagine here having a bunch of Connors running around, but they did. I'm talking about there's a situation that's not easy, but God's taking care of it. And in the midst of all this, he's making sure they got enough to eat. I'm saying he's a miracle-working God. And they'd gotten used to it. Their manna had become mundane. They had become bored with the bread. It was something new every day. It wasn't leftovers. They never ate leftovers except on the Sabbath. And they were fresh then, I'm convinced. I'm telling you, God is doing miraculous things amongst his people, and they've gotten used to it. Now, I want to tell you, a little piece of wafer is not a big miracle, but it's a miracle. And what God's doing in your life may not seem too astounding and too astronomical and so unexplainable, but he's working miracles. He's working a miracle by you being alive right now. He's working a miracle by you wanting to be here tonight. Do you know how easy it is to lose your desire to come to church? Why is it so easy? I'll tell you why. There's a devil, there's a flesh. And God keeping in your heart and mind the desire to come is a miracle. God giving us an insight in the Word of God is a miracle. I am alive tonight. That's a miracle. I'm saved tonight and on the way to heaven. That's a miracle. I have the Holy Spirit living in me. God himself lives in me and you. If you're saved, that's a miracle. We have a Bible we can trust to follow and lead us as we go through this world. We have a church that loves us. We have people who love us. There's friends that love you. You have family members that love you. There's miracles all around that we get used to if we're not careful. We're in trouble when manna becomes mundane. We're in trouble when his bread becomes boring. I promise you one thing. If he takes it away, we'll notice. When your health goes, you'll miss it. When that desire for God goes, you'll miss it. You'll realize then how much of a miracle it was. When you have no interest for church and no interest for the Bible and no hunger for God, and it seems like you can't muster it up, and you begin to realize how dangerous that is, you'll realize how much of a miracle it is to be stirred by the Holy Spirit, to be made hungry by the Holy Spirit. When his manna becomes mundane, we're in trouble. When his bread becomes boring, we're in trouble. Oh, listen. When we get used to what God's doing. Now, when we get used to God's miracles, when we get used to what he's done, it may not take it away, but it takes the appreciation away. They still had manna, but they didn't appreciate it. They still ate it, but they didn't really like it. And losing our appreciation for what God's blessed us with may not take it away, but it'll take the love and the appreciation, the excitement away. Having a home where people love God, when you realize how much of a miracle that is, you should appreciate it. And when we get to where we overlook that miracle, it won't take the home away. Those saved family members do not lose their salvation, but we lose the appreciation for them. We lose the thrill about the fact that my family's saved and we're going to heaven together. What a miracle that is. All that God's done, when we lose the appreciation of it, it may not take it away, but we lose the excitement involved. We lose the appreciation. We're in trouble when bread becomes boring. We're in trouble when not only when his bread becomes boring, but when his burden becomes bitter. Did you hear what he said? Verse 4 in Exodus. The people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. Every day they had to go out. Every day they had to gather. Every day they had to leave their tent. Every day they had to get ready. Every day they had to go out. And they had to labor. They had to work. They had to search at least to some degree. They had to go out. I want to tell you, that was a burden. That wasn't easy. They had to do it. And if they didn't do it, they didn't eat. So it was a burden. Verse 5 again. And on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be as twice as much as they gather daily. On the sixth day they had to gather twice as much. But no matter whether they gathered on Monday or Friday, God gave them enough. But they had to go out and get it. Look in verse 18 of chapter 16 in book of Exodus. And when they didn't meet it, an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. God said, I want you to go out, and here's how much I want you to get. Each person gets an omer. Don't get more and don't get less. And they found out it was enough for everybody. And he makes it very clear, don't get more and don't get less. Get as much as you need. And listen, here's what he's saying. Day by day, listen to me. I'm trying to get up to my point. Day by day, get just enough for that day. Don't get more. Some smart, lazy person said, while I'm out here, I'm going to get enough for 2 days. Why in the world get up early tomorrow morning and come back out here to this same spot and gather manna? While I'm here, I'm going to make it easy on myself. I'm going to get enough for more than 1 day. And you know what happened? It rotted and stank. Verse 30 tells us, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, got more than 1 day. But some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. Here's my point. God said, I want you to go out every day and get enough just for that day. Not less, not more. Now that was a burden. That was not easy. It was difficult. And here's my point. They got tired of doing it every day. The burden of collecting manna every day became bitter. The burden of having to go out every day and do the same thing that I did yesterday and the day before and last week and last month, that burden of gathering manna became bitter. And I want to say it again. When we are in trouble, when his burden becomes bitter, here's my point. When we get tired of trusting God every day, we try and store it up. We say, Lord, why in the world don't things get easier? We go to bed at night and we look back at our day and we think, oh God, if it hadn't been for you, I would not have made it. But I made it. Oh, we look back on the last 24 hours and we realize the burdens and the difficulties and the hardship and the troubles and the tears, and we ask the Lord sometimes, why in the world don't you make it easier? But he's helped us to make it. He's given us grace for the day. He's helped us to carry the burden. But when we get to where that burden becomes bitter and we get tired of trusting God daily, we're in trouble. We want enough for a week. We want enough for a month. We get tired of having to trust God every single day. It gets so wearisome, we think. But if we'll ever realize our walk with the Lord is a day-by-day thing. Faith is a step-by-step process. It's not a test that we pass. And now we got her made till he comes to get us. There'll be a test today and tomorrow and the next day. We have to trust him daily. We have to depend on him daily, and we need to trust him every single day, no matter what we're faced. Listen to what the Bible says about our daily walk. Acts 2:46, and they continually daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread and with house from house to house. Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:3, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. What did God tell Paul? My grace is present tense, right now, sufficient for thee. Grace is not for tomorrow. Grace is for today. Where his burdens become bitter. When we get tired of trusting God every day, looks like it would let up. Looks like it would get easier. Why didn't he give me a little bit of a break? But he doesn't. You want to know why he doesn't? I'll tell you a couple of reasons. He likes you talking to him. He likes you having to pray about your needs. He's like us having to talk to him and asking him to answer those prayers and take care of those problems. He likes the fellowship, and he knows us. If he gave us all we think we need and our problems were relieved and the troubles were taken care of, we would forget talking to him. He makes it where we have to. But we find out like Paul, like he said to Paul, that his grace is sufficient. Some of you have learned to trust God in certain areas. You've learned to trust him. You know, even though the burden's still there, God's going to take care of it. Could I encourage you to advance that, grow in faith, grow in your dependence, grow in that trust. Don't just be glad with where you're at and what you've accomplished, what he's done in your heart, but grow in faith. Trust him more. Go further with him. Don't stop where you're at. We're in trouble when his bread becomes boring and when his burden becomes bitter. We're in trouble, lastly, when his blessing becomes better. Exodus 16:8. And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and the morning bread to the full. For the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. For what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, Moses and Joshua, but against the Lord. He said, you ain't complaining to me, even though you're complaining to me. You're not complaining about me, says Moses, even though you're complaining about me. You're really complaining about God and how he's doing his business. Here's my point. Try and make it. They had gotten to where his blessings were more important than him. They had gotten to the point, to be honest, where God didn't matter too much as long as he kept giving them what they wanted. As long as he kept feeding them, and as long as he kept giving them water, and as long as he kept making their life a little easier, and if he'd just move them on to the promised land, as long as they would be blessed, as long as he would bless them, they didn't care much about him. His blessings had become better to them than him. And any time we look more toward his blessings than him, we're in trouble. When we have to be blessed to be happy, when our focus is on the gift instead of the giver, we're on the road to complacency and lukewarmness. I'm reminded of King Solomon. He had so much silver. 1 Kings 10:27 says, and the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones. There was so much silver, it was like rocks laying all over the ground. And in the process of the abundance of silver, silver lost its value because there's so much. If we're not careful in the abundance of God's goodness and the abundance of God's blessings, we'll look more toward the blessings than him. Now, there's nothing wrong with his blessings. I need them. I need manna. I need water. I need help. I need encouragement. I need to laugh every once in a while. I need to be blessed. But if I must have those things to be content, I got a problem. And I'm on the way down. It's my downfall when I live for those things. If he has to give me something for me to appreciate him, I'm in trouble. If he has to do what I want him to do as I want him to do it for me to be happy and content, I'm in trouble. If he has to fix my problem before I'll be thankful, I'm in trouble. If his blessings mean more than the blesser, I'm in trouble. When his blessing becomes better, we're looking more for the blessings than the blesser. If I have to have my way or I'm going to be in a mood, I'm in trouble. Numbers 21, verse 7, let me remind you and we'll stop. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." God had to send serpents to bite them. Many died, many got sick, but he got their attention. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. At least they did have sense enough to know what to do. When they got in trouble, they went first to the man of God and asked the man of God to go to the God of the situation. And Moses prayed. In verse 9 it says, "And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass, if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." So simple. God said, "Moses, make a serpent of brass and put it on a pole." You know what that shows? That's a picture of the cross. The Lord hanging on the cross. And all God said to Moses, "You tell them to look, and if they look at the brass serpent, they'll live." All they got to do is look and live. It's that simple. And there's times, and I've tried to make this, even though it hasn't been, an encouraging message. Because God is doing so many things in your life and mine. And we're not careful of the bad things that's going on. Well, so taint the good things that we'll forget how many good things he's doing. And we'll miss the miracles, and we'll miss the manna, and we'll miss the blessing, and we'll miss the fact that he's taking care of us. But he says, look toward the serpent, look toward the Lord, and you'll live. The answer was simple. Look to him, and everything will be all right. This evening, I encourage us to do the same. That we would look at an old blood-stained cross, the place where he died, not just to pay for our sin, but to provide our victory, to take care of his people, to help them go through things like you're going through. Boy, we're going through so much, and I believe that's what this message is about. We're going through so much. If we're not careful, we'll miss the miracles in the midst of it all. And he says, "I don't want you to do that." Could I say that's a very subtle way of saying what he's saying? He got quite angry at them. But he says, "I just don't want you to miss. Don't miss my manna. Don't miss my manna. Don't miss the bread. Don't get used to my miracles. Don't get used to me. There was a time when it astounded you that I would rain bread down from heaven and give you enough for one day. And the next day it was there again. It astounded you. Now you got bored with it." God's doing things in your life. If you're not careful, you'll miss it. Ask him to show you those little, is there such a term, little miracles? Or you don't miss it. And then say thank you. Let's stand together.